Very happy to have you with us this evening, and it's a pleasure to be here and to open the book, and especially today where the world celebrates the Easter. When I was preparing myself for this message, I was meditating that the Lord Jesus foretold his disciples many times that he will die and rose again. As the disciples and many didn't understand why the Lord Jesus said that and why he need to die and to rose again. And I think the topic today is big to me. It's big. And I want to proclaim it with faithfulness, clean, clear, and plain. So I trust my Savior. And with God's help, I will do it in a way that you can understand it. I would like to invite you to open your Bible and Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, verse 31. Luke 18, verse 31. Then he took unto him the 12, and said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written about the prophet concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, and shall be mocked, and spitefully entreated, and spitted on, and they shall scourge him and put him to death. And on the third day he shall rise again. And they understood none of these things. And this saying was hid from them. Neither knew they the things which were spoken. Go with me also, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3. 3. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, on whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. The last one is the Apostle Paul. Last Friday, our brother Wayne spoke about the suffering and death of the Lord Jesus. And this evening, with God's help, I will speak of the resurrection, of the entombment and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. We will consider together, and please bear with me for a little while, maybe some minutes more, and because the resurrection is very important, is a core of Christianity. There is no gospel without Christ. There is no gospel without his resurrection. And when we consider the Gospels, we have them Every one of them has a record of the resurrection. Every one of them. And explain the details with various ways, and a special way, describe the event. So we can find the fact in the Gospels. In the following book, that means the Acts of the Apostles, they are explain the thing that happened, and we can find the faith in that place. Why? Because all along the book, the messenger of the gospel, the people they were speaking of, they just set forth the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, put the foundation, and over that base, the message was preached and was proclaimed. Why? Because faith must be over a resurrected man. And faith must be in a man that has been exalted high and seated at the right hand of God in the heavenly places. So faith is over resurrected man and in a glorified man. In the rest of the epistles, we find the future that depend on that resurrected man. So in the gospel, we have the fact, and the acts of the apostles, we have the faith, and in the epistles, we have the future. When we hear the gospel, because I'm trying to explain it very clear, when you hear the gospel message point to the sinner, to the cross, the sinner to the cross, and show them that the work was done, the work was finished, and also to the throne, where there is one man, one living man, one glorified man that is ready to save, that is willing to save, just by the trusting of his finished work. Faith. Faith rests on that finished work at the cross. Apparently there in chapter 18 in Luke, the Lord Jesus told them very clear that he need to go to Jerusalem, and with every detail he said that all things that are written by the prophet concerning himself, concerning the Son of Man, which is the Lord Jesus, need to be accomplished, must be accomplished. And he is telling them, for he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, and shall be mocked. And if we read the Gospels, we have all the details, how they hit him, covering the face of the Lord, and they hit him. They spat on him. They mocked him. They naked him. They do all things. But just imagine the worst that they can do. They did it to him. And the Lord Jesus is saying there, and they shall scourge him. You have in the psalm what is described, his backs. It says, the plow into my backs, over my backs, and made long furrows. The mark of the Roman scourge over his back. And he's saying also, and they will put him to death, and the third day he shall rise again. In that way, the disciples heard the message and just passed over them. They didn't understand. And that happened to many. Many try to understand the gospel. But the gospel needs to be obeyed and need to be believed. You cannot understand why God the Father, when the fullness of time was accomplished, God sent forth his Son He born from a virgin, Mary, and he went to the cross to deal with our sins. It's difficult to understand why God would do that to his own. He's his beloved. But he sent him because he wants you to be part of his family. He wants you to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. He is inviting you not to be part of a religion, part of a group. He wants to save you. He is ready to forgive. He's ready to forget. And he is ready to do it. Why? Because he loved you. The Bible said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And the Apostle Paul, knowing the error that was in Corinth, he took time to explain a very important topic in the gospel. That means the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. We know that he went to the cross. He died for our sins. He didn't die for things that he had done. No. He is perfect. He is holy. Undefiled. Separated from sinners. And made higher than heaven. He is, as we have sung, the altogether lovely. The only one human being that ever pleased the heart of God. He accomplished everything that was demanded from the righteousness and justice of God. And Paul took time there to plainly explain it. And he said, "I deliver unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures." You remember when we have read there that the Lord Jesus explained that is all things that are written by the prophets in the Old Testament according to the Son of Man shall be accomplished. He said, "Everything that is written about me will have an end. We will have an accomplishment in his person and his work, and then in the resurrection." So I don't want to take more time in the cross and his suffering, because Wayne took time on that on last Friday. So I want to speak more especially in the entombment and in the resurrection. But anyway, we have there where Christ died for our sins. And he's saying that all sins, so he is the substitute. He is the one that died in the place of other, in the place of others, you and I included. But then, those four statements there is saying the second one, and that, I can see there a pause. So Paul is saying, "And that," pause, "Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures." "And that," pause. He's saying, "He was buried." "And that," pause again. "He rose again on the third day, according to the scriptures." "And that," again, another statement, and pause, and said, "And he was seen." So over the four statements, we have the first line is a statement, and the second line is the explanation, is the evidence, the proof that he was died, that he died for our sins because he was buried. And then he said that he rose again on the third day, and the proof and an evidence of that was that he was seen. And when in this world we have, or we are looking for evidence of something happened in history, we are looking for the witnesses. So the resurrection of the Lord Jesus was seen by individuals, was seen by a couple going in an Emmaus road, was seen for a group of 12, the disciples and the apostles. And there he's saying, and he was seen of above 500 brethren at once. So if someone is thinking that the resurrection never happened, I don't know how you're going to deal with more than 500 witnesses at once. You can say that maybe one or two were, they were like in a situation that maybe they can be defiled, maybe they can be amazed. But it's a difficult thing that happened to 500 that saw the Lord Jesus resurrected in a form that he can be touched, he can be handled. When he appeared again to his disciples, he said, "Handle me. Look, why you are afraid? Fear not. I am he. Handle me. Look, my hands. Look, my feet. My side. The thing that happened to me in the cross was for the only purpose to save you. And I am here." When he rose back, he said, "Peace be unto you. Peace be unto you." So we have the evidence of his death. We have the evidence of his resurrection. And we have a lot of witnesses to see that. When the Lord Jesus was at the cross, before the atonement, just minutes before he died, he said, "It is finished." When he said that, another account of the gospel said that he said, "Father, into thy hand I commend my spirit." And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. That happened in Luke chapter 23. When the centurion saw the situation that happened, the same person glorified God, saying, "Certainly this was a righteous man." Another account is saying, "Certainly this was the Son of God." Just to consider, this man, the centurion, was an experienced soldier. Maybe saw many, many executions by crucifixion. He knew what's going on. He knew what thing happened to a man that is crucified. And they usually died after 2 or 3 days of terrible agony, being bled. And after that, they died. But when different things happen to the Lord Jesus, we have here that usually when a person is crucified, is weak. But the Lord Jesus cried with a loud voice, "It is finished." Just to remind everyone that he was willingly giving his life. And when he was ready, and when the time of his death comes, he said, "Father, into thy hand I commend my spirit." And he gave his life. And he gave and give up the ghost. When the moment of the death of the Lord Jesus came, the gospel said that was darkness. That was an earthquake. Different things happened. When they, by the preparation, the Jews want to just get rid of them. So the soldier went and broke the legs of the first, and then went to the last, And when they came to the middle cross and saw the Lord Jesus, that he was dead. So one soldier came and pierced his side, just to be sure that he was dead. When I was reading this portion, I was thinking, two men, after the death of the Lord Jesus, were ready for the moment. One man, Joseph of Arimathea, he prepared himself and he bought a linen cloth, new and clean. And he bought it for just one person. He bought it for just one moment. And he went to Pilate and begged for the body of the Lord Jesus. And knowing Pilate that surprised him that Jesus died, he went to verify it and sent a soldier to verify it and said, yes, he is dead. Okay. And he gave it to him. Then when another man that was already prepared for him, this is Nicodemus. Nicodemus got 100 pounds of weight of myrrh and aloes for him. One man prepared linen, one man prepared the spices. And come the moment that they need to remove the Lord Jesus from the cross. Have you ever removed a nail from a cross, from a timber, an old timber? It's not easy. You usually use a nail bar to remove it. What about to remove a nail from the hand of the Lord Jesus? With the idea not doing more damage any further. He was damaged. He was hurt. He was marked. And when they took him from the cross, in a very kindly and carefully way, they put him and wrapped him with this white, clean linen. And they wrapped him, and they covered with these spices, and then they took him and put and laid him in a tomb. When the Lord Jesus came to this world, he went to a new womb of the Virgin Mary. When the Lord Jesus died, he went to a new tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. New womb, new tomb. They want to get rid of them. They want to get rid of him forever. And they said, this deceiver said that he will rise on the third day. So they got a guard of Roman soldiers to protect the tomb and got a seal on the door. And they rolled and was rolled a big stone on the tomb. And everyone was or went to their house. And we have the tomb there. But I was just happy that tomb, just in a little while, will be empty. Because the one that died for our sins, according to the scriptures, and he was buried, he just waited to the moment of that first day of the week, the first day, and he rose back from the dead. And he didn't need that someone rolled back the stone from the door of the tomb to let him out. That happened very early. That was open just for us to contemplate where the Lord laid and where angels there to testify to them that went. And over three of the gospel, they say, he is not here. He is risen, as he said. And in Luke and said, why you are seeking? Why you seek the living among the dead? Good question. And they went to see the place. And where all the linen that wrapped the Lord Jesus was in place as a person, because he passed through the clothes. He didn't need that someone lose him, because you remember that he rose Lazarus from the dead. But this was a different time, a different occasion. Lazarus, he said, Lazarus came forth. And Lazarus came to the door and someone need to lose him. But the Lord Jesus, no. He rose. He didn't. He didn't need to someone lose him. He passed through the linen. And after he rose back from the dead, he presented himself to his disciples. When we consider the resurrection of him, we think that he needed to show as he said, because he talked to a woman that he just lost a loved one, and he said, be not afraid. Why? Because I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. And because he said that, he need to prove it. And how he proved it? When he died at the cross, on the third day he rose back from the dead. In Revelation he said that he said, I am that liveth, and I was dead, but I am alive forevermore. It's so wonderful to think that he is alive. Usually we sing, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. I can hope in the future, because my hope is a living hope that is resting over a finished work at the cross and over a man that resurrected or rose back from the dead. And he is alive and is ready to save. If you come to him by repentance, he will save you. He will save you now. Are you ready to it? He promised to come back also. He promised to come back, and he will do it. Are you ready for that coming? Are you ready for that moment? He said, surely I come quickly. There is not a date. There is not a day that is marked. His coming is soon. And nobody will see when he is coming. Will be a total surprise in this world. But he is coming for his own. And when he will come, he will just speak. And the dead in Christ will rise. And we, if we are alive in that moment, we will transform. We will be changed. And the dead in Christ and those that are alive in that moment will meet the Lord Jesus in the sky to be with him forever. Do you have that hope? Are you ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus? Or when the Lord Jesus will come for his own, you will be left behind. Jeremiah said, the harvest has come, or the harvest has an end, and we are not ready. We are not saved. If that happened to you tonight, I hope you will take the best decision to trust the Lord Jesus. Trust with all your heart, knowing that it's impossible for you to get to heaven in your condition. Your sin needs to be dealt with. And the Lord Jesus paid the price with a highly cost, his own self, his own life was given at the cross. He was buried, but he rose again on the third day. Paul mentioned that it is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And Paul said that in that moment, of whom I am chief. And he being delivered by the determinate counsel and the foreknowledge of God, it wasn't a surprise. He came in and dealt with our sins. And he was taken by wicked hand. And by his own blood, he purchased us. And by his own sacrifice at the cross, put away our sins. He was delivered, as Romans said, he was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. And it's not just to be right with God. It's not just that. It's to be accepted. It's to have acceptance. The Lord Jesus deals with our sins that we may have forgiveness. But he was raised from the dead for our justification, to find acceptance in the presence of God and be called sons and daughters of God. Actually, he came to his own, but his own received him not. But of them, the Bible says, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power, or the authority to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on his name. He came to see to his own. He was rejected. He was despised and rejected of man. He was called man of sorrows and acquainted of grief. He experienced death. He tasted death for us. He experienced sorrows. And he went to that cross. And when the work was finished, he said, it is finished. And now, when we open our Bibles and we preach the gospel has very strong foundations, because the Lord Jesus rose from the dead on the third day according to the scriptures, and he fulfilled the law and make it honorable. He accomplished the thing that God demands from us. We couldn't make it. But he make it possible. And if today it's possible to preach the gospel with all proclamation and with energy and hope that you will accept the Lord Jesus, it's because he kept his promise. And he will keep his promise. And he is coming back. And my question today, are you ready for that? Has been your sins been dealt with? Has been your sins forgiven? Have you ever met the Lord Jesus in a position that you know that you are a sinner, a lost sinner, with no hope, helpless and hopeless? And you present yourself before the Lord Jesus and ask him to save you. Because I said, and I'm certain, that if you do that today, you will be saved. Not trusting in your things, or the thing that you have done, but trusting in his finished work. Because he rose back from the dead. And when he presented himself to his disciples, he said, peace be unto you. Peace be unto you. And when we read the epistles, Paul is saying, grace and peace of God the Father and the Lord Jesus with you. Are you ready? I hope with all my heart that you're ready to accept Him. If you just trust Him, you don't need to do anything. Just trust. It's not by works. It's by faith. It's by grace through faith. And the work that the Lord Jesus has finished. Because He paid a price, a highly priced for you. Because He loved you. And He loved you so much. And you even cannot understand His love. Cannot measure it. But He loved you so greatly. And He wanted you to be part of His family. What is your answer now? Are you ready? Hopefully you are ready. Shall we pray? Father, in this time we are so grateful that we can open Thy Bible. And considering, O Father, the fact that Christ died for our sins. He died in our stead. And then it was done according to the scriptures. He was buried because He was dead. And He rose back from the dead according to the scriptures. And He was seen by many witnesses. And that was the proof of His power. Because He said, nobody take my life from me. Because from myself, I lay down my life. And He has the authority to take it again. We are grateful, O Father, that the gospel can be preached, can be proclaimed. And someone tonight, after listening to it, can trust what the Bible said. That He rose from the dead on the third day and be saved. Father, we commend ourselves to Thee, giving thanks for this great opportunity. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen.
Amen.